Good morning, Miss Jelena.
Good morning to you too.
Your relationship with Auntie Ellen, it must be something really close to your heart. How did your relationship start?
We started back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. We started together through the weaving. Because she does Narendra weaving, which is the traditional weaving techniques they have with the Narendra people. Mm-hmm. And that's where we started our friendship from there. From that weaving workshop that I attended from her, of course the friendship developed from there. Then we started different projects from apart from the weaving. Mm-hmm. We started different projects through working with the kids, because I have a background in textile art as well, and teaching the kids as well. And we joined together different projects, programs. We apply for grants. We provide school weekend activities for the children, especially for Camp Korong. Camp Korong is a cultural education center, mm-hmm. as well as a museum. Sadly, now it's closed. We accept commissions and exhibitions. We implement programs. We exhibit overseas as well. Recently, we just received a commission, a boat from the National Gallery, which is Auntie Ellen's totem. So our friendship started from there, and we never stop. We're still going. I acknowledge her as my older, as my auntie, as my mom, as my advisor. She is my advisor on my university PhD mm-hmm. study.
So what is so powerful about that relationship, Miss Jelena?
When you respect each other, you build that trust. And if you build that trust and the respect together, you kind of collaborate mm-hmm. and you help each other, not just in the work. You respect each other's opinion. I think that's a good relationship in that side, because she's 65. So really, she can become a mother figure to me.
Because you are a migrant yourself, Miss Jelena, and you came from a different history, right? From the Philippines.
Yeah.
But how were you able to still find the connection with Auntie Ellen?
I find the connections through the weaving. When I was growing up, I was adopted, but I still have the upbringing with watching the aunties weaving. So I think that's why I was connected to it, through the weaving. And also the culture, Narendra culture, is quite similar to ours. I always work with the aunties and uncles. They always show me and told me different things that they used to do. And I find a connection, because I grew up that side. I see that in their side and their culture, that similar views. So that's why I found my connection from that.
With your friendship with Auntie Ellen, it has gone deeper, right? And you shared the same advocacy as well with her regarding Camp Korong, because it closed down, right?
Yeah.
Are you still fighting for it?
At the moment, I'm not pushing her. Even though I've been working, if we totaled everything according to her, we've been having connections for 20 years. Even I have a strong relationship with her and the Camp Korong, I'm still an outsider. I'm not an Narendra person. With that, they respect that I've been there for that long. Mm-hmm. And I know the culture that much. And I work with them at a different level, not just being an artist and advocacy in their fight to open the museum. But also, as I said, I respect and trust what they shared.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the focus of my PhD study, is the understanding those knowledge that build into that. So we kind of put on hold on trying to fight for it. She's not well as well, so she's kind of losing the hope, really.
Oh, that's sad to hear. But is there anything else that can be done?
I think people have to help her. People have to help the government make it loud. The voices from different people, it's only a few, trying to save Camp Korong, but it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
After all, Camp Korong is a community, and it's the only indigenous educational center, Aboriginal education center in the regional South Australia. It's only one.
You also do basket weaving, right? And you help her promote those baskets, which is, of course, an Asian craft of Narendra. Yes. So what are you doing regarding this?
With the weaving work with her, we co-founded Narendra Eco Art Co. Auntie Ellen and I co-founded that group. So I'm acting as a project arts manager, art instructor. I wear many hats on that. So I work with them as liaison in both sides and also managing the group. As I said, mentioned before, we work exhibitions, commission work. At the moment, we just we finished one whale, which is going to France.
In France,
a life-size.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's Le Havre Museum. That's where it's going. It's a life-size whale. It's woven. And the second one we're working on it is the second whale, which is going to South Australian Museum. It's a big collection that we're working on. But we always work together. We find ways.
So you're still keeping it alive, you know, like with the basket weaving.
We travel. We organize workshops. The schools contact her through to me. I organize programs for her that she always have some kind of income because after the Camcoron close, of course, she lost her job.
Can you say that Auntie Ellen is a part of your identity today?
I suppose, yes. I would say that way because if we mention waving, it always connects to Auntie Ellen. Whatever she does, she always passes into me, especially if there's a waving workshop. Yeah, she should become part of my identity, really.
Mm-hmm. True weaving, right?
Yes, through weaving.
The same interest in weaving. How important it is that migrants be aware and recognize the stories of the many other Auntie Ellens whom we know as the first Australians.
It is important to engage as migrants myself. I didn't know anybody. I don't know the culture. I was brought up traditionally. You don't know anybody. It's quite confronting when you start your life that way. But I think migrants, especially for new migrants, you have to engage with the community, and that's how you establish and make that connection to the other people and the other culture. Mm-hmm. And also, it gives us the sense of belonging and adding new identity to our culture. And also, the indigenous beliefs is similar to ours. So for the migrants like us, it gives the connection to the community. It gives you the links. It gives you the help. Because when you get stuck and you don't know anything, that's time that you feel homesick. Mm-hmm. You don't want you want to go back. Okay. But being engaged to the community and being part of the community, you become part of it. Being engaged to the community is you're acknowledging to the new culture as well, and adapting that new culture to become yours.
What do you think should migrants do to be part of the reconciliation?
For a migrant, at least make that first steps to go out and just say hello. My way of saying hello to everybody, I just smiled. Mm-hmm. That's all. I just smile and say hello. Doesn't matter who they are or what color skin they are. I just say hello. Mm-hmm. How are you today? That's my first thing. And be respectful as well. Doesn't matter what religion or beliefs that they have, just be respectful. I always help. I always get told that I help too much. I feel so sad when people just sleeping in the streets. One of the uncles told me off. He's a Narendra person. And I walk with him in the main street. And there was one family that just, I suppose they didn't have home, really, just the name. So I give them some kind of money just to buy breakfast. So I give them some money, and the uncle said, I said, you know, Jelena, they earn more than you are. I said, I know, uncle, I know that they earn more than I am, but look at that. They're sitting in the cold cement, mm-hmm. begging for money. Obviously, they don't have anything for this morning, so at least I hope something.
What migrants could do is to start true friendship. They could start true friendship with, let's say, one Aboriginal Australian at a time.
Mm. I think so.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I started through projects. A friend of mine was a lecturer of University of South South Australia. Mm-hmm. And through her project, I volunteer a lot and create projects. I think having the background in text, in art, that helped me to be confident speaker, because I was so shy when before. I migrated. So mm-hmm. It took me 3 years to get out of it. But when I went back to school and learned different art mediums, that's it. I started being confident. I think when new migrants might be to study, mm-hmm. Learn to study through different programs. If the community center have some kind of programs for new migrants, just attend and learn. You don't need to contribute and say anything, just listen and observe everybody what they're doing, because that's how I did. I went back to school.
You know what you did, some of the migrants could follow as well, right? Mr.
Yes.
Lina, yeah,
yes.
Definitely, because, you know, being educated and learning about these things would help them build that confidence.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
definitely. That's how I find it, through education and learning everything and just be respectful, just smile and help everybody, no matter what happened or who they are. You build your confidence that way. I think one of those points in my side is that I become strongly connected to Narindjeri people, because I could relate to that mm-hmm. culture. I didn't have anybody. It's only my in-laws. And I had trouble communicating because my English was still not good. So through schooling, learning different things, I learned English. I went back to high school
mm-hmm.
To learn different things. I enrolled in Aboriginal language.
Okay, wow, interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enrolled for one of the language group in South Australia, which is apart from Narindjeri, because mm-hmm. Narindjeri is a different group as well. I learned Ghana, which it's a Ghana language and a Ghana culture. I work predominantly with the elders, so they always guide me through with different things, tell me stories, their experiences. By going out and learning, you're able to build that connection, sense of belonging to the community. And also cooking. We love our cooking. We love our food.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from weaving, we connect through food. Food is always built into our culture as well.
The Australian history has had a dark past, right? But from your perspective, after being with the Aboriginal community for many years, how do you think Australian history can be healed?
The dark history of Australia, it's there. We can't erase that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to acknowledge and respect that history. And from that, we have to learn to move on.
Moving on. Mm-hmm.
Moving on. And really focusing what we have now and work together. And that's what all reconciliation is all about, is to work together, acknowledge each other's culture, respect each other. And that's the first thing that you have to do, is respect each other. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have that, then nothing will happen.
Yes.
And that view is one of my Auntie Ellen's granddaughter said that view, really.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand your culture, if you don't understand your identity, and trying to make that connection and relate to other culture, then you don't understand your own culture either. So that's what my research at University of South Australia, my PhD research,
mm-hmm.
it's focused on that one as well. It's trying to, if you don't have the respect with each other, no matter where we come from and beliefs that we have, if you don't have that respect and trust, then we got nothing.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jelena.
That's all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Inyong komunidad, inyong usapan sa SBS Filipino.